Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace,
and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 410. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 247 rerun. And this is going to be a quick episode tonight. We are actually, this is a travel edition. Yes, we are at our mom and dad's place. Travel down here to pitch in while our younger sister Hannah had her hopefully final surgery in this entire saga. We know people have been concerned, but she's doing great. Everything went well. She only had to spend one night in the hospital. Woo! So thank goodness. But we've got more traveling to do, so we didn't want to miss a Night Vale recap, so that's what we're going to do right now. So it's interesting. Cecil started out by talking about something that I've actually heard about before, the idea that before the Industrial Revolution, this whole thing where everybody goes to bed and sleeps for eight, nine, seven, six, whatever hours, and then gets up. Before the Industrial Revolution, people would go to bed and then they would wake up a few hours later and be up for a while and then go back to sleep. And he said, we kind of do that now?
Yeah, because before people would get up and they'd tend to the fire or they'd, you know, check, I guess, check the animals, like if especially they were, you know, taking care of sheep or something like that. But nowadays, people just wake up at, and he was very specific, 1:42 a.m. And just wake up and we lie there trying to get back to sleep, or we get up and have a snack, or we sit down and we start watching television of any kind. And that's what Cecil found himself doing last night.
Yes. And he turns on the TV and he sees himself, but at age 5, and he sees that Abby, a younger version of Abby, is there, and this song comes on, and he knows the song. He actually starts singing along with it for a little bit. It's very, very familiar. But before we get into what the hell's going on, we're going to go into the headlines.
Yes, there is a yellow warning from the water department. Do not drink the water. There is far too much of a bacterial load and animal blood in it.
There's a lot of warnings,
but it is perfectly fine for children to run through the sprinklers. Just make sure they have lots of towels and take their shoes off so they don't track gory footprints all over the house, because that's hard to get out of the carpet.
Oh, God. The Night Vale Zoo also had a security alert. I guess all of the cages got opened, so be careful about that.
Yeah, including one pterodactyl. It's nice that they've got a pterodactyl, which is probably not out.
Yeah.
There was a huge explosion in the vacant lot behind the Ralphs, and it's created a secondary pit. Now, it's not the same pit that you usually hear people calling to huddle with them in there. This is a slightly different pit with, like, scary noises and people inviting you to come in, and it's kind of, you know, just one of those camouflage things, and just have to ignore those voices, although the ones from the other pit are perfectly fine. But I think it was a gas main explosion, and now the people in the from the gas department are desperately trying to get back into the Ralphs to make the explosion stop. But, you know, the owner's on vacation.
Yeah, yeah, more explosions throughout the day. Okay. So, since it's apparently a slow news day, according to Cecil, he goes back to the TV thing, and a man appears, and it's sort of an old man. He's carrying a cane. He's dressed sort of old-fashioned and kind of scrubby and everything. And Cecil realizes exactly what the show is. It's an Uncle Jasper's Wasteland rerun.
Yeah, because the man comes out and says, who's ready for the riddle of the day? And that's... this was something that Cecil and Abby could always agree on when they were growing up, was how much they loved this show. And they even were able to participate live multiple times with all these other kids that would be on the show, and they'd be led in singing, and there would be prizes where you got to grab something shiny out of the bottomless pit of shiny things, or the bottomless box of shiny things.
He breaks away from that story just to give a quick product safety recall, because it's probably pretty timely and important. Apparently over at the CVS, all the prescriptions that have been filled in the last few weeks are being recalled because the people who work there had no idea what they were doing. And they were just giving people random drugs.
Right, yep. They're very sorry for anyone who got hurt
or died,
but they were just trying to fake it till you make it. Well, there's another recall, though. Bacon, they did a DNA thing from 23andMe, I think, and found out that the bacon all fits the DNA profile of one Aidan Mikula from, like, the 17th century. There's not a bit of actual pork in this stuff. It's all from him.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Also, there was a bit, and I didn't write down a bit it was a recalling a nightmare. And so then it got into the idea of like recalling a nightmare, remembering a nightmare.
Yeah. Because of course you don't actually remember the nightmare. You just remember that sense of dread.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then there's also recalling pink lady apples. Ugh, chock full of razors.
Okay, so we go back to Uncle Jasper's Wasteland where they're doing the riddle, and it was a visual riddle, and all of these images are appearing, and you have to actually say, what do all of those images have in common? And a hand is raised, and it's actually young Cecil is answering the question.
And his guess is it entropy? And apparently that was what it was. I mean, with a very creepy response from Uncle Jasper. But Cecil got to pick out something from the bottomless box of shiny things. And what he pulled out was a shiny piece of metal from the fuselage of a jet. And it had been hammered into the shape of a bunny. And I kind of want one, I think.
Yeah.
Even though it was sort of sharp and it kind of cut him. And his sister, like, took it from him and, like, carefully wrapped it up and put it into her fanny pack and told him that when they got home, she would file down the edges so it wouldn't be sharp. And you can see there's just, like, this touching connection between the two of them. She even pats him on the head for doing so well in the riddle.
Yeah, it's nice to see him getting along. After that, Uncle Jasper introduced a cartoon, which apparently he drew all the cartoons. Like, he played all of the characters on the show and did all of the cartoons and all of the writing and everything.
And he made all of the little metal animals and the shiny box of things.
Yeah. But at that point, Cecil decided he would go back to bed. But he's been wondering, like, where is Uncle Jasper? He was so important to Night Vale for so long, and he just had no idea where he was. And so he's just saying on the radio, you know, if you're out there, Jasper, call me.
Ring. I said, wow, that was fast. Well, I take this. We'll go to the weather.
Yeah, and I like the weather. It was Blue by Emily Henry. And I've written down pop with a cool drum beat and very neat key changes.
Yeah, and what I wrote down was it sounds like, and this is going to be specific, but it sounds like the music you would have in a movie montage of a group of friends coming together to go infiltrate the enemy compound.
Ooh.
I don't know why that occurred to me, but that was what popped into my head.
I like when you can, like, really pin it to something specific. There's a guy, I'll see if I can find him. He writes synthwave compositions and puts them up on Instagram, but he always has some description about, like, this is when the team has come back and they think they know the guy who did it, but there's one guy who's just sure that they've gotten the wrong man. Love stuff like that. Okay, so we come back from the weather, and Cecil says, nope, that was not Jasper. It was actually Abby who called, because it turns out the night that Cecil stayed up to watch Uncle Jasper, Abby was up at the same time watching it as well.
And they talked about their theories about what happened to Uncle Jasper and what they think happened to him, and, like, maybe he's off somewhere with an endless pile of shiny toys that he's making, you know, somewhere. And it's just, and Cecil asks Abby how her week has been. And Abby was actually kind of surprised because she says that's the first time that Cecil has asked her about anything from the present day, because he's always been asking her about their memories of childhood. And he just, like, he said, well, I apologized. And, like, no, I didn't actually apologize. I just said, you know, invited her and everybody out to go get ice cream some evening. And she did not come back about how ice cream is really bad for you. I can't remember what the dangerous thing was for, like,
something.
Like,
it's gonna, I think, like, it eats your brain or something.
Yeah, causes brain holes or something like that. And she did not bring that up. She just said, that sounds great. So
yeah.
I do like the fact that it seems like they've been a little bit wary with each other for a while. And now they're finally starting to remember that there's another person that they're talking to who, like, will react to things and maybe wants to hear about how their day was.
Yeah. And while Cecil's talking, he sees the daycare sitter has dropped off Esteban, and Esteban's outside, and Cecil's waving at him, and Esteban's playing with this shiny piece of scrap metal, and there's this older gentleman with a cane walking away from him, and Cecil taps the window, but the guy doesn't see him, and you're like, oh, well.
And okay. Cecil's just like, oh, it's a really nice day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was totally clueless, as usual.
Completely. And that was the end of the episode.
Yeah, it was very sweet. It was a cute, another good little standalone episode, I think, because you don't quite have to know all the background of all the characters to understand that this is just weird.
Yeah, it was nice. So the only thing we really wanted to talk about was, we've been talking about doing this for a while. Catherine was the one who finally got a hold of the Flame Toys Windblade figure, and we'll maybe link to some of the past episodes. If you didn't remember, Flame Toys had been working on a Windblade figure, and they put out the preliminary images for it, and it was... I don't want to be judgmental and everything. God, it was super sexualized.
Yeah, like opposable butt cheeks kind of sexualized. And the way they had her posed, of course. And it's just like completely disregarding that this is a warrior character. Yeah. And she just like the description that you had of what the pose looked like.
Yeah, like she's fleeing from a wolf, you know? So there was a lot of outrage about it. And
then outrage about the outrage, of course.
Yeah, some of the more toxic members of the community were thinking that women were trying to take away their fun. And then there was this thing going around because Flame Toys removed the images and said, no, the figure's still coming out. We're going to work on it. And there were a lot of people who were saying that, oh, the people who were so offended by it, they were never the type of people who were going to buy this figurine anyway. And we decided if they came out with a cool figurine, then yeah, sure, it's true. We've never done a model in our lives. But we thought, wow, you know what? They're right. We're going to buy this damn thing.
And we did. And it took a long time to get to it. But I think it did very well. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it was very backordered. So we've been waiting until we could actually get into the same time zone so we could work on this thing together when we had a few days to devote to it. And it says in the description that all the pieces, the plastic pieces, are already the right color.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have to paint this afterwards. So this is a good model for beginners. The hell you say.
Holy crap. Like, there's at least 9 pieces just in the head.
Just in the head. Just yeah. And every piece is about as big as your fingernail.
Wow. We ended up getting together. We got the head together. And we got part of the chest together. And one of the things that makes it interesting is when this figure is done, it will be completely poseable. So you've got like, not only do you have to fit pieces together, but in a lot of cases, you have to rotate pieces into the right direction in order to get them together. So it's a lot of like looking at the pieces on the paper and matching it to the figure. I mean, it's all laid out really well. If you've never done one of these before, but there are literally hundreds of pieces and it's going to take a while.
It's going to take a little while. This might be a years long process to get it done.
Yeah. We had this idea of like filming a video of us putting it together, but we just didn't get our act together. And now I'm thinking that's probably fair. I would not want to edit all the hours that it's going to take to put this thing together.
No. And definitely I was thinking that this would be like work on it for a few evenings and be done.
Oh no.
Not for us. For yeah. other people maybe who have done model kits before, but not for us.
We might get faster as it goes on. Maybe.
Yeah. So. I'm almost tempted to like, you know, get it into a smaller box and we could ship it back and forth across the country. I'm like, I'm tired of working on it now. It's your turn.
Yeah, that may happen as well. But anyway, more on that to come. We're taking pictures of the process.
Of course.
So, you know,
yeah.
Maybe not take video, but we'll take pictures. But I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Hugh, once again, I mean, I think we said last week that he'd been doing a bunch of movie reviews. He's got a bunch more coming through. So keep an eye on the site. Like, lots of stuff that just came out. Unfortunately, the new Chris Pine movie, Pool Man. You know how Hugh likes everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he gave that one a D. So
I want Chris Pine to have, like, a breakout success movie because there were too many people talking about the fact that because Dungeons and Dragons was not a runaway success, that means it was a flop. And I do not agree.
No.
I do not agree with that. But I want him to have an unequivocal success,
yes.
Really.
And I just found out today that they're in preliminary filming for the next Star Trek movie. I want to see it. That first Chris Pine Star Trek is so good.
It's really good.
Oh,
yes.
Man. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So, next week, we have 2 episodes of Lore Olympus.
Yes.
A episode that will come out for free and a Fast Pass episode. And then after that, 2 weeks after that, the final episode of Lore Olympus will come out.
Will be free, because right now, they're all available for Fast Passing.
Oh, my
And
God.
I am wondering if I'm going to even be able to wait on the 2 weeks on that third one. Are we just going to be Fast Passing 2 episodes next week?
We might.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll decide something because we're specific.
Yeah.
One way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
Try that one more time. I was rustling the paper.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.